Rejoice, the lost have been found. I think that should always be the reading for this Sunday of the year. Here we all are. Some, of course, are still traveling and I'm sure making merry on our behalf, but it is wonderful to see the church full again, to have everyone more or less back in place and to welcome new people amongst us. What a joy. We don't get this reading every year on this Sunday, though, so I'm just going to consider this lucky for me. However, each one of us knows what it's like to be lost. Is there anyone here who has never been lost? Good. I feel so much better. Loss can be several things. It can mean being unable to be found. It's not knowing where you are or how to get to where you're going. Or you're unable to find your way for one reason or another. Or you are no longer held or owned or possessed. All of these experiences add up to often terror, fear, despair, and who only knows what else? Desperation when you're trying to find your glasses before church, perhaps. They are all of a kind. They are not something that you just ignore. Being lost and being found are something that you pay attention to. Each one of us is at times lost. Each one of us is at times being found. Each one of us is searching. Each one of us is finding. And each one of us has experienced not finding. Look at the front cover of your bulletin this morning. You might have noticed it's obviously a picture. It is one that a friend took. And I want to introduce you to Bottle. That's my hand, but Bottle is the lamb. Bottle belongs, or did belong, I'm sure Bottle has unfortunately been eaten by now, but Bottle belonged to my friend Graham, who is a shepherd who owns a sheep station in New Zealand. And every year in about October, when spring has sprung there, I would go, as I've told some of you before, and help do some of the farming. Most sheep stations have thousands and thousands of sheep. And so what happens is sheep actually don't like people. They are left to their own devices during lambing, and the shepherd will go out once or twice or three times a day to collect the lambs that have died because they're in birth and the ewes. And the rest are left to their own devices. However, at Graham and Judy's farm in Tiano, New Zealand, that is not what happens. Graham will go out many times a day and during the night, usually every 2 to 3 hours. And he will find all the lambs and all the ewes that had despair in their birthing pangs. And he will gather them in. Now you need to understand that it always snows. It is always terrible weather in October in New Zealand. It is not an easy job. And since ewes don't like people around, they go into the worst places possible to give birth, under bushes, down ravines, in the middle of mud puddles. Bottle was found somewhere in the midst of a shrubbery, and his mother had died giving birth to him. And so Graham brought Bottle back to the barnyard and, as you guessed it, fed him by Bottle. Not every one of these rescued lambs gets a name, but Bottle was special because eventually he had to find a ewe that would take Bottle on, and it's not an easy job not only to find a lamb, but then to make sure that it is truly found and owned by another mother. And so he had to take the lamb who had died that was the ewe's, because she had lost her lamb, take the skin off the dead lamb and tie it onto Bottle. Because sheep, ewes, recognize their children, their lambs, by their smell. And so this poor little lamb, who barely survived, had to have the dead skin of another lamb wrapped around him, waiting to see if this mother lamb, this ewe, would accept him as her own. And she did. Because of all of that nurturing, Bottle was different than the other lambs who were frolicking about. And I have a picture at home that is one of my favorite pictures from my time in New Zealand, which is me holding Bottle and Bottle's little head resting on my shoulder. I'm not sure who is happier in the picture. To be like Graham, to actively seek out the lost, the lonely, the hurting, the abandoned, takes time. It takes huge amounts of energy, it takes focus, and it takes a lot of risk. It is risky to go looking. Being found, as I've mentioned with Bottle, takes patience. It takes hope that something's going to happen. It takes staying in one place, and it takes risk as well. You know when you're hiking and you're lost, you're supposed to whistle three times and then not move. If you're lost in the mountains or anywhere. The hardest thing is not the whistling, it's not even the realizing you're lost, it's the waiting. It's the waiting to trust that someone is going to find you. Because if you leave that spot and start to wander, there will be no hope, almost no hope, of you being found. And yet I think in our lives, most of us like to wander. We don't want to stay put and wait. It's what we call the in-between time. And that time is very difficult between being found and being lost, between deciding whether to go find someone or not. And often we think that that time is wasted time. We could have been doing something else. However, perhaps that time is the most important time. That time when Jesus is spending with his disciples, the followers, and the Pharisees today. When many of them are lost and they want to be found, and many of them don't even know they're lost and they need to be found. And it seems like wasted time because he's just sitting talking to them and he's eating and drinking with them. Maybe something more helpful could have been done. But it's during that in-between time where the lostness can be realized. I just came back from vacation, almost 5 weeks away. And part of that time was spent with friends having a riotous, wonderful time on the East Coast in the Gaspé, a great week. And part of that time was spent on Lake Superior by myself, which was an equally great week. And some of the time was spent here with friends and just actually for the first week, pretty much sleeping. But during that time, I always think as my feet kind of drag before holidays start, thinking, it's going to be over before I know it. And we all have things that we look forward to, and we know it's going to be over before we know it. And then we get into it and we're enjoying it, and then when you're like me, perhaps, standing on the shores of Lake Superior saying, I don't want to go home. It works on you, that time when you set it apart, however long it is, that kind of in-between time, in-between responsibilities, in-between choosing what you're going to be doing, perhaps, and what you're not going to do, in-between, so much in-between. And this year I felt this sense that I wasn't doing anything with that time. When the weather's bad, it's a couple of summers ago, I read 13 novels. Well, that I could look at. Oh, look, I read 13 novels. This summer I read 2. I saw people, I relaxed, and I didn't really think about anything. And so coming back, I thought, well, that might have been a wasted vacation in between time. I didn't do anything. And then I realized I was found in that time. I was found because the routines went away, because the grace and the beauty and the joy of connecting with people found me. The solitude, the stillness, listening to the water on the rocks found me. And in the end of the holiday, I didn't have need to have done a thing. The in-between time, where I was actually a bit lost to myself when I left, I was found, gently. And there I was, like bottle being held. And I didn't do any of it. That time that we take defines the worth of the lost thing, or the moment we think about. That time is necessary for us to recalibrate what is important to us. That time helps to tell us the meaning of what has been lost, the meaning of our own lostness, and what it is we're hoping to find. That time in our faith is where Jesus hangs out. He is always found in everything in the scriptures in the in-between time, when we just don't know. Between death and life, between rejection and regard, between the cross and the resurrection, between those who are questioning and those who think they have all the answers. That's where God is. Our faith is mostly found there, even if we aren't able to hold it. It's there that God does the searching and the finding and the rejoicing. Gordon is great on many accounts, but one of them, he's having a nap, it's his first Sunday back. No, he's not. One of them is that he always tells me when I should pay attention to a certain hymn and preach on it, preparably. With the hymn we just sang, Joseph Hart's hymn, a couple of the words, "Come you sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus, Son of God, will save you, full of pity, love, and power. If you tarry till you're better, you will never come at all." If we wait to be found, in the sense that we think we can find ourselves or we can make it happen, we won't be found. We need to spend time in the in-between time. We need to be there because that's where God looks for us. So no matter what state you're in this morning, or tomorrow, or last night, cherish that time, that in-between time. Come and be found. And we will all rejoice as God does, because God is ultimately focused on finding and holding and healing and rejoicing with each one of us. Amen.